From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
What are the odds that you were impressed with what you saw out of Justin Verlander last night?
I was. I was about what I expected to see out of him. Maybe it may turn out to be a pretty good pickup for them, too. If you look back on it and say, all right, at the trade deadline, if they had gotten Verlander, Maben, and Tyler Clippard, I feel like they helped themselves.
I might believe that if everybody on this team were playing at their best, they might be the best team. And that's in the AL. But if everybody plays their best, the Astros are as good as anybody in the league.
So we have an unknown quarterback, unknown kicker, down two running backs. What are the odds the Texans score more than 10 points on Sunday? I wouldn't worry too much about the kicker. They like that guy. Lamar Miller is going to get the bulk of the carries regardless. So I don't think not having the backup running backs is that huge of a deal. It's the same thing we said last year. If Brock Osweiler can play, they'll be all right. Tom Savage can play, they'll be all right. At some point, you're going to see Deshaun Watson. The whole question will be, is he ready? I don't know why this offense would be better than it was last year.
Yeah, you're not better.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at A.J. is the real, at Jon Snow, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, it is a What Are the Odds Wednesday. All of it available on podcastarena.com. And if you're stuck in traffic, hang in there. We'll get you home eventually. Just have to see how it goes. But I know it's a mess out there right now, but they did show water being pumped off the beltway. Man, that water is still almost the damn bridge there. It's really bad.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll get that rolling. Hey, did you see Myles Garrett? Is apparently they're concerned that he may miss several weeks.
I didn't see that. What's the problem?
Said he left Wednesday's practice with a right ankle injury.
Oh, no.
And the team is said to be concerned with the potential severity of the issue. It's not clear how bad it is. He's yet to undergo an MRI, but they said his status for Sunday was in doubt. It says we'll see where we are more through the week. A team source said the Browns are privately concerned the injury could be severe enough to keep Garrett sidelined for weeks.
Okay.
That's not a good way to start out.
Boy, when's the last time they had a high draft pick that really lived up to it?
Oof.
I mean, I know a lot. I mean, it can't all be that they are just such a really – I mean, they're not a great organization, but it can't be just – they can't get it right. They can't find the right. Like, part of it has to be just insanely bad luck, right?
Well, and there's a reason that they've gone through so many different general managers and coaches and everything else. So, let's see. How far back do we want to go? Let's go 10 years.
Okay.
2007, Joe Thomas.
That one worked out.
Brady Quinn.
Did not work out.
2008, no pick.
That was Brady Quinn, basically.
2009, Alex Mack.
Worked out for a little while.
Yeah, they don't have him anymore, but he's a good player. So they got that pick right. 2010, Joe Hayden.
Worked out for a little while.
Well, why? I don't know why they cut him.
I don't either.
Best cornerback. So I would say he was a success. 2011, Phil Taylor.
Not a success.
2012, Trent Richardson.
Not a success.
Brandon Whedon, also 2012.
Not a success.
2013, Barkevis Mingo.
Not a success. Well, he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, just not with them. 2014, Justin Gilbert.
Nope.
Fail. Johnny Manziel.
I mean, I don't know which one of those is worse.
Gilbert, because he went eighth.
Yeah, maybe so.
2015, Danny Shelton.
I mean,
And Cameron Irving.
You can't feel good about Danny Shelton so far.
Yeah, and 2016, Corey Coleman, I think jury's still out there.
Yeah.
There are three number one picks this year, Myles Garrett being the first overall, Jabril Peppers, and then Njoku from Miami was the other one. So we'll see.
Okay. Yeah, they just seem not to have great luck. And if Myles Garrett ends up being hurt, and I mean, you could go further back to – I mean, you could go back to like Braylon Edwards and Cam Wimberly and Gerard Warren and Tim Couch and you know, Courtney Brown. I mean, they just their franchise has just been historically rough when they pick high.
Yeah, I guess going back to 99, first overall pick, Tim Couch. 2000, Courtney Brown, first overall pick. Braylon Edwards was third. Gerard Warren was third overall. I mean, they've had plenty of opportunities to draft players. It just hasn't worked out for them. But Myles Garrett is a guy I like, and I think it was the right pick. I was a little worried. I'm concerned about his durability because he got hurt a lot last year for A&M. And
it's already a bad start.
Yeah. But hopefully he'll be okay because I think he can be a real player. Again, I think this year is kind of another – they're tanking to get one of the quarterbacks.
I think so, too. I think that's why they took – him last year because they felt like they were going to have a better shot at a better quarterback this year.
Do you see why Kirk Cousins is sticking with the one-year franchise deals?
No, because they won't give him long-term money was just my sort of
– No, apparently God likes to use one-year contracts and not long-term contracts.
Oh, so that God decided?
Pretty much.
Okay.
It's, says he basically said, at least in his life, that God prefers the one-year contract.
Okay, well, I mean, there's a lot of money there, so I feel like Kirk should probably enjoy that too.
He says he likes to take me to the edge of the Red Sea and have me see there is water in front of me. There are mountains on either side, and there are Egyptians chasing me from behind. And he wants me to sit there a moment and go, God, you better show up. And then he parts the Red Sea, and he's done that time and time and again on my life, on the football field and off the football field. So when announcers say the offensive line parted like the Red Sea, they're being accurate based on what he's saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
God prefers one-year deals. Did you know that?
I was unaware.
I am too. That really.
But now I know. Thank God.
Well, so now when you get a new deal, make sure you get 1 year.
That's a good good lesson for me.
Interesting. When AJ said about the last time they had a successful pick, I couldn't tell if he was talking about the Browns or the Aggies. Oh, Mike Evans has worked out pretty well.
Mike Evans is pretty solid.
Yeah, and those offensive linemen have never quite been what they were supposed to, but they haven't been busts.
Von Miller?
Von Miller's been okay. Good. Von Miller, I would... Yes, hands up for Von Miller.
Yeah, I feel like they've done okay. They've had some busts, but they've done okay, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. I think he was overdrafted. But I don't think Tannehill's been a complete dog. I don't think he shouldn't have gone that high.
Right. He just shouldn't he shouldn't have been a first round pick. But that's just that's obviously up for debate because there's a lot of people who feel like he's great.
He's dead now, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
At least he won't be back this year. Jesse wants to know, does that 1 year deal go for marriage too? I really think I have a theory on this, and maybe I'll save this for Beth. But I really believe that in marriage now, and not to throw dirt on you, John, since you're about to get married, but we should all just do 5 year contracts. Just everybody agrees to a 5 year deal, and then when the deal's up, you can renegotiate a new one, or you can both opt out.
Are you coming up on 5 years?
Dude, I'm on 8 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's in his second contract.
I'm in my second contract, and I'll keep her for another 2 years.
Yeah, I remember when you first got married, we put an over-under on, 3 years?
Yeah.
Well, good job.
He's hanging in there.
Yeah, well, she's a good earner.
Yeah.
Got to hang on to her. But, I think 5 years is just the right amount of time. And then you decide if you want to have kids, and if you have kids, then, you make it 10 years. But then each time you decide to renegotiate.
What if one person wants to continue and one wants out?
Well, that's what you have negotiations for.
Okay.
617. Technically, Jesus was only on a 3-day deal.
Mm. Oh, boy. So he says, name a better NFL Aggie quarterback than Tannehill. You guys don't produce very good quarterbacks. That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the best.
Yeah.
I mean, greater than Bucky Richardson.
Probably so.
But that doesn't say a lot.
Doesn't say anything.
Yeah, you can't really toot your horn over that.
Longhorn Dimitri, how about 6-month contracts? No, that's you have to make a commitment. I'm not saying if you're going to commit to be married to a person, it should be a 5-year commitment.
It's like financing a car.
Yes, and you buy a car together at the same time, so that way it all kind of ends at the same time, right? You get a 5-year loan on the car, 5-year deal with your wife. Yeah. One wants to continue and the other wants to hold out. Use the franchise tag to buy another year. I could see that. I think we're onto something here. I think there's some potential. So, I mean, 5 years is a significant commitment. It's not like you're just saying, oh, I'll give it a try, and if it doesn't work in a year, I'm out. You're making a significant commitment. I think that people should consider this. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Is Beth here, John? Did she make it? Awesome.
She's in the house.
So we'll have Beth next. I'll ask her what she thinks of my idea.
Guys, we all know that shopping for energy rates is rough. It's not fun. It can be like taking an Aggie quarterback. It's painful. But Triangle Energy, they're making it easy for you. Signing up is simple and fast. There's no hidden fees, no interruption in service. Take advantage of their new low 12-month rate, locked in at 8.1 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. When you get home, compare that to your last bill. If your usage is 2,000 kilowatt hours a month, about average in the Texas summers, your total bill will be around 170. If you're paying more than that, you need to make a switch, guys. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TRIEagleEnergy.com. And remember to use that promo code ESPN. That's what's going to get you the absolute best rate. That's TriEagle Energy, 877-93-EAGLE, or TriEagleEnergy.com. PUCT license number 10064. Run back to me. They always want to come, but they never want to leave.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.
Darling Way presents Here's Your Masters of Love, Fred the Falcon and AJ with Beth Liebling.
And we are back on the Blitz, and joining us for the first time in a couple of weeks, our good buddy Beth.
Guess who's back?
Aww. Good to have you.
Thank you all so much. I'm glad to be back. I've missed you a lot. I've missed Houston a lot. I think it's been a hard damn couple of weeks. So,
How was your show Saturday? Yeah.
The show Saturday night was fun and good. Hot Chick Holly was there. It was
Buddy. Yeah.
Yes, your buddy. It was very interesting. So yeah, it was fun. I think we learned a thing or two about how to please. Please somebody, and then maybe how not to please somebody. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
And what do you got this week?
Well, this week, because we got hurricaned out, we're having the couple on to talk about how they got back from painful sex to passionate sex.
Ah.
Yeah. So we're going to bring that topic back, because really, and especially these days with everybody so stressed, there are a lot of people that are not having very, very happy romantic lives right now. So we're going to try and help them with all sorts of ways that they can enjoy that more. There's got to be some bliss around here despite the sort of gloom.
Well, I have a theory that I just postulated last segment that I want your opinion on.
Postulated? Can you say that on the radio?
That's a great word.
I think...
Postulate all over your face.
No, just not your wife.
What?
The hell?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Fred.
No, I'm gonna postulate in your hair, Fred.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I love it when these boys talk dirty to each other.
I don't have enough hair for that. And it's just going to get stuck together.
I'm going to postulate on Jong's back.
Oh, he's had that happen
before.
I don't
even know what this word means, by the way. I hope it's
theorized.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm going to theorize all over Jong's back.
That's not what I meant, but yeah, thanks.
Basically, I think we should do away with marriage and have 5-year marriage deals.
Yeah.
Where everybody who gets married agrees for 5 years.
Oh.
And then you can opt out at the last year, or you can re-up for another 5 years.
Okay, so
like football contracts,
yes,
basically.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so Fred, you know, it's so funny. You and I disagree on so many things, but there's a part of us that's like so in sync, because I swear I've been arguing for 5-year renewable contracts for marriage for 20-something years.
Really?
Absolutely. Well,
I didn't know you 20-something years ago.
No, so. You didn't. I can't believe it. And I really did. I said the same thing, that it should be a 5-year renewable contract, because that way everybody keeps trying, right? When players' contracts are up for renegotiation, they're trying harder.
Who always their game up?
Who has step their, your game.
Yeah. Last year of a contract, you have your best season, right?
Yes. That's exactly it. So I figured
the
5 years
is going to work out in year 5.
Yeah, it's going to
in the gym.
Well, and the men are going to be nice and take care of their right. woman and stuff. Yeah.
Well, unless they're looking, ready for the contract to be
men
over.
Men are more likely to opt out, I would guess.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
Try to get younger. You know.
That's a general rule of thumb. Men tend to age better than women. So, like, late into those contracts, you know.
Really?
Yeah, like when I'm turning into George Clooney and my wife's turning into B. Arthur, I'm going to want out of that, right?
Oh, ow. I hope you're going to pay for that comment later, okay?
I'm just saying, not me personally. I mean, like, in a hypothetical world.
I think B. Arthur's hot.
You do, and that's really weird.
She is. I'll tell you. But
she was.
But,
too.
No, I think she's awesome, but I will tell you that I think I am way more awesome now than I was 20 years ago. Physically, mentally, emotionally, I'm way more fun. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. I really do think so, actually. And I think when women are happy, we look at... And in fact, so at the 20-year reunion or something, there might be a difference, but I swear at some point it's where you look and the men all look old and the women look really good.
Okay.
Yeah, when they're happy. So.
I'm about to be at my 20-year reunion. Jeez. Next year, 1 year away.
Isn't it crazy how fast it goes?
I'm not going, I don't think. But no.
Yeah, it's fun. But so I'm totally in agreement, Fred. I think that's not a bad idea. I think the problem in relationships, in long-term committed, whether it's marriage or just living together or whatever, is that we end up taking people for granted and just settling into something. And that's a problem. We have to have a little bit of a fear that it's going to end in order to take care of it and nurture it. Because it's the same way, if you just think you can have something tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, you're not in a really big hurry for it today. If you think, oh, I got to grab this now, get it before it's gone, then we go try harder to get it, I think. So.
Right, well, let's talk to President Trump about this.
He would probably agree.
Yeah, and see if we can get this law passed.
He's been married almost as many times as you.
Oh,
I think he's more. I think he's got me beat.
Is he got a full four?
I think he's at a full four. I could be wrong. I don't really keep track.
Yeah, thank goodness. But. All right. No. But I think earlier, so somebody was bringing up about with people that have been losing things. Let's think about this, right? We're talking about relationships, but people have lost houses and lost different parts. What about people that have lost their prop closets? Right?
Yeah, they've got to be replenished somehow.
Right. And can you imagine, it's hard enough for people to say, wait, go back, I want to get my dog, I want to get my cat. But can you imagine how hard it would be for somebody to say, oh, I want to go back because I've got this favorite costume, or I've got these romantic props that I just can't do without, or, you know, masks or latex or anything. You know, maybe we should be having a drive for people to replace all of their romantic props.
I kind of think there's a little more important stuff that they need to get back first.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, photos. After that, what else?
Little stuff like, I don't know, food and water and clothes and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Food and water and clothes. All right, well, so
TV.
I agree. TV.
Couches.
Yeah.
Couches. Okay, I don't know. See?
How about a mattress? I mean...
You can fool around on the floor.
Texas
if it's dry.
If it's dry.
I guess I'm a little bit worried, and I know maybe it's just me, but I really am. I'm worried that we're doing all of this love for our neighbors and for all these people outside, but I'm seeing a lot of people that have not connected with their partners since all of this started going down. And that is, do you guys know what happens to the divorce rate after natural disasters?
I do not.
It can spike 30 to 50% in the months after, right? That's a huge, significant difference. And to me, it's like Harvey's already done such awful devastation. I just am looking around going, please, let's not let it do more devastating things later.
I do find it interesting that, like, disaster or tragedy shortly after, a lot of the times relationships end. I was talking to a buddy of mine who had a kid who died. And
same thing.
Less than a year, they got divorced.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's got to be a hard thing to live.
Yeah, but it seems like things like that would bring people together, but it often does the opposite.
Right, because I think what happens is that that whatever happens, it's so hard that we end up, sometimes we fight by withdrawing. You know, the same thing when we're in pain, we tense up. So when we're suffering emotionally and depression and fear and loss, and particularly men who stereotypically are responsible for protecting their families, to have had this hurricane come through and this flooding and to have literally lost everything and not been able to protect your family, that's got to be a really horrible feeling, right? So how do you then go forward and hug on your wife and cry about that and feel like you're still a man when inside you're feeling like a big, that you failed somehow, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
So people who return from war with injuries and stuff, right? So it's, we don't know how to deal with all this grief, and we need to figure out how to make it bring you together, not further apart. So big, strong guys, military background. Come on. You have any ideas?
I don't have any.
You don't have any?
I'm a wuss.
Well, I guess that's why I'm thinking that we need to be talking about love and connection and passion just as much as we're talking about food and water. I just think, because it'd be really sad to get that food and water and couch and bed and everything back together and not have somebody that you love to share it with. So take advantage, I think. That's just my little public service announcement.
There is always Tinder.
There is always Tinder, and we can just recirculate, you know? That's
we had
true.
We had a story today where a guy, during the gas crisis of last Thursday in Austin, he had 400 gallons of gas, and he wasn't going to sell it. He would only trade it 15 gallons for butt sex.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, with a man or a woman, but it had to be a really handsome man because that wasn't his preference. And
he would have left me up.
Yeah, Fred and I would be
screwed. You're both so handsome. He'd have been lucky to get either one of you or both.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wow.
But yeah.
So how many gallons did he give away?
I don't know, but I thought that seemed like kind of a ripoff, 15 gallons.
That's pretty cheap, actually, right?
Yeah, that's not a lot.
I would charge more.
That wouldn't even fill up my truck. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, you would get a big fill up.
You take that walk of shame and you get to the gas station or you fill it up and it's like, oh, I'm just under 3/4 of a tank. Like, that's an empty feeling.
That's like, give it to me just a little bit.
Yeah, like, that's just a tip for 15 gallons.
There is something just so incredibly wrong about that. But I do appreciate that he was equal opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, men and women, that's
kind of good.
But you
have to be a really... There's no looks parameters for women. You just have to be a woman willing to do that. But for a man, you have to be really good looking.
But you know, if somebody's just bent over, it's like, what does it matter anyway?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, there's ingenuity, I suppose. I'm kind of thinking, didn't the cops, right? That seems like it's kind of violating some of the rules. Like, you know, if we can't take cash, why can we do it for gasoline? I don't know.
They always say cash, ass, or grass. And I think that's...
I've never heard of that, but okay.
Yeah, that's how you pay gas money. It's cash, ass, or grass. That's always been the rule.
Wow.
And in this case, it's ass.
I've always
been like a cash guy, but everybody's got their own thing.
Well, that could lead to a whole new discussion. So now when people are talking about it, they'd be like, okay, how many gallons of gas would you demand for us to be able to do this?
Well, I put it to Fred like this. I would have to be like Road Warrior, like Mad Max in Road Warrior, Mel Gibson. Like, it's a post-apocalyptic time. No one has gas. That's like the currency. And then I would answer his Craigslist ad.
Uh-huh.
And when he answered the door, I would say like, all right, I'm ready for this. I've been wanting you really bad. And then
you would take him.
I would shoot him in the face
and
take all his gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't do, I don't think I could do that.
See, well.
You would just take the butt sex?
Yeah.
See, yeah. I think I like our chances of surviving the apocalypse a little more than yours.
Yeah, I know. I would not be good. You like do not want me on your survivor team.
In The Walking Dead?
Yeah. No, I'd be like, come on, everybody. Can we just hug? Can we just love? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny.
We're chopping you up and eating you for dinner.
For sure.
Yeah.
Probably. I hope I taste really good. And I hope when you're doing it that, you know, that I get some pleasure out of it at least beforehand. Right. Just be nice to me before I go. How's that?
I don't think this is one of those like... He did say he would use a condom and he would use organic lubricant.
Oh, wow.
Like with no GMOs. It's good, right?
Oh, what? Yeah, what a great guy.
Yep.
We need to, like, talk to him, right? Don't you want to know what other kind of weird stuff he's got going on in his life?
Not really.
Oh, that's just me? Yeah. I totally do.
Like I said,
why is he so deprived?
Cleaning out people's houses.
Yeah.
I've found a lot of things that I'm not into. That people are really into that I'm not into.
Yeah.
So.
That's okay. See, I don't have to be into any of it. I just like to see it. But props, by the way, to you for doing all that you're doing for the community, because that really, what you're doing out there, hauling stuff away and doing all that, is pretty miraculous. And I'm proud to know.
Almost everybody's doing it. I mean, I just feel like if my house got flooded, I would hope that some people would show up and help me out.
Yeah. Well, it's funny.
They probably won't, but I mean, it'd be nice.
That's why I've always had been an organ donor, like on the license and stuff.
Right.
Even when I was 16, my dad wasn't very thrilled with it. I was like, no, because if I need it, I want somebody else. And God, now if it's my kids, I definitely want it to be somebody else. So, I think that's kind of good. We're at Darling Way. We're raising underwear. We're just catching donations for underwear and stuff.
Because, really?
Yeah, because I just feel sorry for people. And I think when you don't put on a clean pair of underwear every day, you just feel gross and yucky. And people should have something nice and it should feel good. And literally, it's a fresh start. There's got to be something that makes you feel a little bit good to give you the willpower to keep going when you've lost so much. So
that's fair.
That's what we can do. Because I'm not good at going out and tearing up floorboards and whatever or something, and that's just not me, and I'd be crying the whole time anyway, so this is my deal.
All right.
So yeah it's like we all do our bits. Yeah.
You didn't have any problems in your area, did you?
No, we were so lucky.
Yeah.
But I'm walking around, I think the whole city, we're kind of a little bit shell-shocked. I'm having depression issues, and it wasn't me. I don't even want to ask anybody else how they're doing, because there's so many sad stories, and I'm crying more than almost anybody else.
I felt it was last Friday. It was the first day I started feeling like myself again. It was just you, because you can't think about anything else.
Yeah.
And so you try to do what you can, but it was about then when I'm like, okay, you know, let's start focus on moving forward here.
Yeah.
And I quit letting it bother me all day long. But it's hard when you're watching the TV and you're seeing all this stuff over and over. And especially the local channels, all they're focusing is on the rescues.
Right.
And, you know, and then seeing some of the people in George R., I mean, it if it doesn't get to you, you're not human. But by the same token, at some point, you know, you've got to, everybody's got to start looking ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way we can actually move forward, right, is to just stop thinking so much and just start doing. And I think that's been good. The blessing is that so many people across Houston have, I think... AJ's right. Everybody's done something for other people. They've literally reached out with love, with kindness, with generosity to help somebody else. And that's even the people that have lost so much are still trying to help other people, right? It's phenomenal to watch what we are absolutely capable. And really that's just love, and it's pure goodness. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. But so it'll be interesting to see how we move forward though. And what happens? So I've got friends who have lost several different places, you know, their own house, their rental house, office place. Yeah. And I don't know whether we rebuild or what we do, but it's going to be awful. So, and I would just tell people, I've told everybody, if you just need a place to go just for a smile, just for a hug, if you want to come cry with somebody, I'll cry with anybody. I'll laugh with anybody. I'll cry with anybody. So just stop by and see me at Darling Way, and really just don't. It's just... If you've lost everything and you need a free pair of underwear, just come on by. And otherwise, just stop and smile and forget about reality for a little bit. Sit down and talk about love and hope. And yeah, I don't know. This is how it was when I practiced divorce law. You know, people would come into my office and they would be crying, and I would just cry with them. I do not know how to not cry when somebody else is crying. But
I hate when people cry around me.
Yeah.
Really?
It's super awkward.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if your wife cries around you?
I don't like it.
Most of the time, wives are doing that because you're winning the argument. Then they start crying.
No, that's not true.
Yes, that's
that is so not true.
You're winning, and then all of a sudden the tears come, and then you feel like a total turd. It's a tactic.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, that would be bad. That's fine. When that happens, that's bad. But otherwise, so seriously, how do you deal? Like right now, where the city's stressed, how do you deal with your partner if they want to cry and they know that it makes you feel bad? How do you encourage them? Right.
I don't know.
Well,
I just say,
how are you making your wife feel better?
I do like a pat on the back and say, it's going to be okay. My wife cries all the time. My wife cries watching the Weather Channel. I can't console her every time she cries. I don't have time.
Okay, I like her. But now when you're going forward, come on, I'm trying to give people some tips. So how can they console?
I'm a bad person. Val's kind of a hard ass. She didn't let things, you know, but she did was the first thing Sunday night. It's like, we're going down to volunteer. We're going to go do something, you know, and that kind of stuff. So she...
Take action.
Yeah.
That's good.
And she's, okay. And she's got a coworker who's stranded somewhere that she's trying to help and stuff like that. So that's how she deals with it.
Okay. Well, so I've been telling people just hug. Literally, if you don't know what to do and somebody's crying, just hug them, right? That always can work. Even if you're awkward, just hug them no matter what. If they're your partner, just kiss them. Kiss the top of their head, kiss their lips. I don't care. Just kiss and hug a whole lot more. Hold their hand, wrap your arms around them, touch them a lot more, remind them that you're there.
Or give them 15 gallons of gas.
Yeah.
Which is basically the same as love.
Yeah, okay.
Backdoor love.
Yes.
Right.
As
there
long as you
go.
Use organic lube.
Right, obviously. Well, who wouldn't?
I would rather, how about giving them body, like massage oil?
Do you
so
guys
that
have
at least you can massage each other.
Do you have organic lube at your store?
Of course I have organic lube. I had kosher lube for a while.
Good.
Right.
You don't anymore?
No, but I'll get some in if my kosher clients need
you
some.
You any gluten free?
Yes. Okay. Yes, gluten free, vegan free.
Do you have
vegan.
Any diet? Because like, I'm.
Yeah, it's made with stevia.
I want to watch
I've
my
got
figure.
Flavored. Yeah, that caramel, the salted caramel that you tasted is it's made with stevia.
Okay,
yes,
good. I've
absolutely.
Been putting that in my coffee.
It does. It tastes so good. It makes it smell good. I'm totally with you. But no, but at least like massage your partner, right? Everybody get something flavored. I know it's so silly. And I'm not trying to say you have to buy it from me. I'm just saying really people think about and try and comfort each other and do something fun. And get a little bottle of smelly, fun, flavored lube and massage somebody or massage oil and kiss it off them and touch them and just love them a lot. If you're with somebody you really like and you want to stay with them, let's not have that let's not have too many people opting out at their renewable contract time. Yeah. That would be my mission. So I'd like to see Houston have our divorce rate maintained stable for a year following this. I think that would be a real sense of satisfaction for the city.
I could have been on 10 or 12 by now if we'd had that 5-year rule.
You could have. Would you want it? Would you have wanted to?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I always wonder, why would you get married?
Boredom.
Why? If you're dating, that's not boring, right? If you've got somebody.
I like having somebody in the house.
So why not just live with them?
Eh.
Isn't that funny? This is what I'm trying to figure out.
Fred is one of those guys. He's like, I suck at being married. I can't get married again. But then he gets married again. He says if this one doesn't work out, he'll never get married again.
But
there's
he will.
Zero doubt in my mind he will. He's addicted to, he's a gambler. That's what Fred is. He's a gambler. He rolls the dice and that's the way he lives by it.
But he could just live with him. But yeah, I'm not a gambling person, but I would gamble and I would bet on the fact that Fred will be married again. It's just a question of the time.
No,
so,
not
you know,
happening.
Just
not
keep
happening.
Her. Cheaper to keep her.
Yeah, well, yeah. I have no intention of...
Exactly.
You know, I've still got 2 more years on this phase of the contract, so...
There you go.
Yeah, because we're in year 8, so she's got 2 more years.
Okay, well, so go home and hug and touch her and kiss her and, yes, and love all over her.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm trying to get some.
Yes. Good.
For sure.
You deserve some.
Yeah.
Yes. And do it in a way that your wife really wants to.
Of course.
Hey, I was so excited, by the way. I had a client come in the other day. I was so proud of her. She had given birth within like 3 months ago. 3 months ago. And she was already coming in looking for ways to kind of dress up and for fun ways for her and her husband.
She bounced back nicely, huh?
Yeah, and she's already got a couple of kids, but I just was so proud that she's like, you know, this is important to him, and I'm not really feeling it so much, but I want to, so help me kind of feel it. And I was like, yes, right? That's just awesome. She's got a lucky husband. It was good. And she was like, but it's got to feel good to me. I have to get in the mood, so help me get in the mood. I was like, yes, this is why I do. I was like, makes me so happy. She's going home and having a good time, and I'm like, thank you. I need all these happy love stories.
Well, Beth always has them. She's creating them down at Darling Way, so go check her out.
People never come in and say, wow, what are those guys really like in person?
Oh, they come in all the time and ask me what y'all are really like.
You're lying. You made that up.
No, I'm not. No. But I will tell you that they also come in and they told me that that they've listened to you guys for years, and they said the funniest segment was where our dear little friend AJ was wearing that remote control.
You like that, huh?
Oh, my God, yes. they said they were laughing. They almost crashed their car.
Well, I'm glad they enjoyed it.
That was awesome.
Always a good sign when we almost crash cars. All right, tell them real quickly about the show and about the shop.
Okay, Love and Laughter with Beth is on Saturday nights here on ESPN 97.5 at 10 p.m. or after a football game if there's a game going on. Last week we started 11, so don't give up on us. Just keep tuning in. Or you can find us on iTunes and listen to all of our old episodes. Please subscribe and give us a review if you would. And then the shop is Darling Way at 3423 White Oak Drive in the Heights. It's actually still high and dry. And seriously, come by for a hug, a smile, and just a little bit of love.
Or a dildo.
Or that.
Yes.
Or anything. Or a pair of underwear. I don't care. But again, I don't want people to think I'm not, you know me, I'm not a hard salesperson. I'm not telling you just to come in because I need to sell more. I'm telling you, come in if we can help you feel better. Because
I got something to ask you for a friend. Could I get a leather rabbit mask?
Yes.
You can get those?
I could get those, and I would be happy to. Seriously, if people, if you've lost stuff in the floods and stuff.
If you've lost your leather rabbit sex mask, it can be replaced.
It's hard because these things are sentimental, right? They're just a certain something, and I don't want to minimize. It's not fair. We all have things that mean a lot to us, but we'll help you find something, and I won't stop until we find something that you really love. How's
people are probably having to have sex with their wives, looking at their normal face instead of a rabbit.
Yeah, and obviously much rather look at the rabbit, right?
Clearly.
All right, guys. So many fun things. Y'all are awesome.
I got to tell you about Man Centers. Listen, they're doing everything they can for men out there, guys. Women have OBGYNs. Us guys, we have Man Centers. If you've got, any kind of concerns about your man parts, sexual dysfunction, any kind of pain, low testosterone, get with Man Centers. Prevention is the key. You need to get checkups before you start actually seeing symptoms like genital pain, prostate and urinary issues, or STD concerns. You've got a responsibility to be healthy for your family. There's an easy annual checkup. Man Centers can help you lead a better, more fulfilling life just like that. And if you're struggling with performance, maybe you're unmotivated, you're tired at work, the weight's not coming off the way it used to, you're struggling in the gym, maybe you've got low testosterone. It's an easy fix. And Man Centers is helping regain your natural testosterone production. They're not trying to get you hooked on shots that you're going to need to be on for the rest of your life. They're trying to do it the right way. They want to make sure that they're your go-to for all your men-related needs. They focus on male urology that your primary care physician might not focus on. They take most insurance. Give them a call. Let them know what you got going on. They'll guide you through the process. 832-358-8600 or mancenters.com. They got three locations, one out here on Katy Freeway. They've got one open in Pearland. And on Friday, so in 2 days, they'll have a third one opening up in Tomball. Check them out. Man Centers, mancenters.com. So we'll piss off the neighbors in the place that feels the tears, the place you lose your fears, reckless behavior, a place that is so pure, so dirty, and you're up in the better day, loving and falling on, it's a paradise, and it's a war zone, it's a paradise.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about DraftKings. You've been waiting for this since February 6th. Football season's here. No better way to get closer to the game you love than with DraftKings 1 Week Fantasy Football. To celebrate, they're hosting a $100,000 contest this Sunday. It's totally free to enter, and if you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion. With DraftKings, there's tons of way to play. You can choose between a public contest with big cash prizes or a private contest where you're playing just against a couple of your boys, or you can go head-to-head. That's my favorite thing to do. DraftKings has beginner and casual contests, so if you don't want to play against some shark, you don't have to. The best part is you draft a new team each week without any commitment. Go to DraftKings.com now, use promo code Houston, and you'll play in DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. And if you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion. It's promo code Houston to play for your shot to win $1 billion this Sunday. The contest is totally free to enter, guys. Why wouldn't you try it? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Time to wrap up the show the way we do every Wednesday. We celebrate those who have passed away. And we'll start with 2012, Michael Clark Duncan, American actor.
The Green Mile, right?
Green Mile, yeah.
It's a big boy.
John Coffey, lack the drink. Dies from respiratory failure at 54. That's not a good run.
No, but he was a giant. Giants always go down.
It wasn't really that big. It's just compared to actors, he was big.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's probably about your size.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe slightly smaller. Not that you should be scared or anything yet because you're not close to 54. 2013, Willie Frazier, former Houston Oiler, dead at the age of 71. 2008, Don Haskins, former UTEP coach. 1999, Catfish Hunter, American baseball player. And 1997.
Good name.
Yeah, great name. Although now, if you were a Catfish Hunter, you would be looking for people like Monte Teo's girlfriend.
Right. A whole different meaning these
days. Yeah. Richie Ashburn, a Hall of Fame infielder for the Phillies and Mets, also a sportscaster, dead at 70. Okay, boy, these are not good runs. We have yet to see someone with a good run. But John Wayne Glover, English serial killer, 2005.
John Wayne Glover?
Or is it Glover?
I don't know. I only know John Wayne Gacy.
And John Wayne.
And John Wayne.
Yeah. 1991.
And John Wayne Bobbitt.
Him too. Don Henry Pee Wee Gaskins, American serial killer. Claimed to have murdered over 100 people. Went to the electric chair at 58. 58's a pretty good run for a serial killer.
Yeah.
Luciano Pavarotti.
Luciano.
2007, dead at the age of 71. Fat lady sang for him. 1877, Crazy Horse. The great Sioux war chief, dead at the age of 37. Also not a good run.
Not a great run.
John Wayne Glover was dubbed the granny killer. He killed 6 elderly women.
It's a low number.
Yeah, that is a pretty low number.
Not a great serial killer.
Especially since they're...
Plus you're killing old people.
They're close to death anyway.
Yeah, within a 14-month period. Oh, 1989 wow. to 1990.
Okay. Well, that's good numbers for 14 months.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're talking about like once a season, you're throwing somebody... Yeah. That's yeah. tough.
Let's see. Here's your best deaths. 2014, Joan Rivers. 81 years old. Pretty good run.
Yeah. Very dry vagina.
2012, Art Modell.
That was according. That's I heard that at her eulogy.
Yeah, that's true. That's not. You didn't make that up.
I didn't make that up.
Or you did. I don't know. 2012, Art Modell. Also, his real name was Arthur Bertram.
I didn't know that.
On the Browns, Ravens, and Modell stores, dead of heart failure at 87. Also, a pretty good run.
Solid.
2000.
But he did own the Browns.
Yeah.
But then he got to the Ravens.
And, yeah. Yeah, he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then died peacefully.
At 87.
Not owning the Browns.
Steve Irwin, the crocodile
just
hunter.
About him the other day.
Yeah, attacked and killed by a stingray at 44. I don't know if he was attacked. I think he got in the way of the stingray. 44, not a good run, although if you're running around hunting crocodiles and getting stabbed by mantis, 44 is decent.
I got to say, he looked older than 44.
He did.
He wasn't aging well. He was like leathery.
And most of those Australian guys, I mean, they stay good looking for a long time. Yeah. So I'm going to go with, he was probably going to die anyway. He just happened to impale himself on a manta ray. 1997, Mother Teresa, Albanian-born Indian nun and founder of Missionaries of Charity. What does she know about missionaries if she was a
Stop
nun?
It.
Okay, dead of cardiac arrest at the age of 87. Pretty good run. How about this one? 1997, Burgess Meredith, actor from the original Batman. He was Penguin. He was also in Rocky as the brother.
What are we waiting for?
Dead at 88.
I thought Rocky's brother was the Penguin.
He was his trainer, not his brother.
Yeah, trainer.
Yeah.
I thought he was the Penguin.
He was.
No, I thought he was the Penguin in Rocky.
Oh, okay. He kind of played the same
character.
How did
Penguin learn how to train boxers?
That's yeah, good. Exactly. 1990, Tom Fogerty from Creedence Clearwater, dead of tuberculosis at 48. Not a good run.
It was actually AIDS.
Really?
I read John Fogerty's book, and he said a lot of people said it was tuberculosis, but it was AIDS.
Yeah, because who dies from tuberculosis these days?
Yeah, it doesn't really happen.
1978, Keith Moon dies of a drug overdose. Drummer for The Who, 31 years old. Not a good run. And I always just thought Vince Lombardi was a lot older than he was because he just looked old. Maybe it's because he was in black and white.
Yeah, I think that's why.
1970, dead at 57. Not a good run.
No, not great.
This has not been a good run for people in the deaths today. And, well, we got three dead popes in 1100. Clement III, also known as Wibert van Ravenna. He was the first anti-pope. You're going to have to one day, Jong, as the resident Catholic expert, you're going to have to explain the difference between popes and anti-popes.
Oh, you want me to do that now?
No, not right now. At some point,
just
I would
acknowledge
like to
that one day you'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
John the 13th.
Ask your priest or something.
Yeah, to explain that. 972, John the 13th, Crescenti.
Crescenti.
And in 701, Sergius the 1st. He was a Syrian Italian pope. It's a good mix. And finally, one dead porn star related to John. 2009, Felicia Tang Lee.
Suicide.
Beaten and suffocated in her apartment.
So, maybe.
Unless she beat herself up and then
you don't know?
That,
does it say, Fred?
Says was found beaten and suffocated in her apartment.
I think it's... I feel pretty strongly that was a suicide.
Interesting. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Great job by John.
Crank that up, John. That's that life, stuff. Man. You like that? John, you in on this?
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
By the way, Glenn doing another show tonight.
Oh, what? Really?
Why doubling up.
Yeah, because he missed one last week.
Oh, so soccer.
Soccer matters, but does it matter enough to do two shows in 1 week?
I think it does. I think it does.
All right.
Glenn looking sharp as always. So stay tuned for more Soccer Matters. Great job, Hoffman. Great job, Lee. Did okay today. Till tomorrow. Stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.